The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It doesn't take much for us to end up in the middle of a wilderness these days. Sometimes a wilderness will even come and find us. When we're in the wilderness, we both mourn the loss of normality and we lament. We often cry out to God and to others. We try and find comfort for ourselves. Find relief somehow, sweep away the pain. So often we think that things will be better if we just know why this is happening to us. As humans, it's almost instinctive to want to know why. We want to know why we lost our way, our job, our family, our health. Did I do something wrong? Could I have done something differently? Is God punishing me for something? There's got to be a reason why this is happening. Kate Bowler is a professor at Duke Divinity School. At age 35, when everything in her life was going well, she had a great job, great husband, a newborn son. When she was 35, she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. There was a suddenness in her diagnosis, a suddenness in how her life's plans were being yanked out of her hands. She was suddenly faced with the question, what does it mean to die in a society that insists there is a reason for everything? To explore this question, she wrote a book. And I really, really love the name. It's called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I Have Loved. Bowler writes about her journey to figure out why her life was yanked away from her and thrown into chaos. Well-meaning family, friends, acquaintances, and even strangers told her why this had happened. Bowler wrote, "Most everyone I meet wants me to know, without a doubt, that there's a hidden logic to this seeming chaos. There's a reason." She's been told God needs an angel. Everything happens for a reason. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. It was God's will. Heaven is your true home. In the back of her book, she's even got an appendix listing all of the things not to say to someone in the midst of a wilderness. real easy for us to sit today and shake our heads in dismay at some of those statements. We may have had those things said to us. We may have said those things. We may have thought those things about our own wilderness. We may have even shouted to God and said, "What did I do?" These things are not said because of thoughtlessness or insensitivity. We say these things because we're trying to make sense of the wilderness. We're trying to make sense of something that is senseless. Jesus addresses this head on in the text today. Jesus doesn't let us ask why for too long, likely because he knows we won't get anywhere. The why question is of our own making. It's our own human need for explanation. In biblical times, people also wanted to know why something happened. They didn't have all the resources and technology and data that we do today. So they believed that if something bad happened, it was the result of sin. Remember Jacob's friends who wanted to make sense of his suffering? They assumed that Jacob had done something terribly wrong. Or the man born blind in the Gospel of John? The people asked if the sin of his parents had caused his blindness. In the Gospel from Luke today, in a very graphic story, Galileans are killed by Pilate while worshiping in the temple. Their blood is then mingled with the sacrifices of the animals on the altar. The people ask Jesus if the evil at the hands of Pilate is because the Galileans had committed some particularly bad sin. Or when the 18 are killed by the random act of the Tower of Siloam falling, Jesus is asked whether this accident of nature happened because the sins of the 18 were worse than the sins of everyone else living in Jerusalem. Jesus says no. Jesus does not blame the victims. No one deserves these things. Jesus won't be pulled into a simplistic answer. He doesn't try to solve deep problems with quick fixes or offer shallow theological thinking. Jesus simply says no. If God doled out punishment in relation to our sins, we would all be in trouble. That's not what God does. Tragedies, natural disasters, illness, these things happen. Life is fragile. Then Jesus adds, unless you repent, you will perish, just like these did. Repent. That may sound like a very odd and disconnected thing for Jesus to say at this point. What does repentance have to do with why we are in the wildernesses that we are? So Jesus tells us a story to further make his point. The parable of the fig tree re-emphasizes that life is fragile. Life is precarious. Life is unpredictable. Life can end suddenly, sometimes without an explanation. The Galileans came face to face with the fragility of life when they were slaughtered in the temple. So did those who were crushed by the Tower of Siloam. The fig tree in the vineyard faced the threat of the axe. Kate Bowler, at age 35, received a terminal diagnosis. Maybe we or someone we love has faced this fragility too. New Zealand. Tornadoes, diagnoses, sudden death. Jesus tells us today that this fragility of life bears with it an urgency. an urgency that won't let us stand still, but instead calls us to seize God's graciousness and to share in the mission of Jesus. This fragility of life calls us into action. Kate Bowler, with a cancer diagnosis, learned that life is fragile and life is urgent. She found that that ever-present why question was nothing more than a distraction, taking her away from the real question. The real question of how will I live the rest of my life that I have been given? How will I turn my life towards God? Tragedy and hardship sometimes have a tendency to nudge people towards God. For Bowler, her cancer diagnosis gave her a real urgency to connect back again with God, to begin again her relationship with God, to nurture it and strengthen it and struggle with it even. Bowler began to write, and she's still alive. She keeps writing and she keeps teaching. She began to truly cherish her husband and her young son and the time that she had been given with them. She chooses to live each day with joy and generosity in all things, then share that joy and generosity with others, doing little things like hanging a huge sign for her husband that read, "You are my bucket list." She began to live out the kingdom of God in all of her relationships and to do it urgently. The stories of Jesus today and many, many, many of the experiences in our own lives suggest that tragedy and hardship can be sudden. How will we spend the rest of the life we have been given? Will we turn our lives towards God? It's important today that you don't miss the urgency of this question that Jesus is asking us. Will we say, "I'm sorry"? Will we finally forgive? Will we speak now, speak today, and act for justice and mercy? Will we allow our minds to be changed, establish a new reputation for ourselves? Will we accept God's gracious and never-ending love and then give that love to another? Just like the gardener, God holds out hope for us, even when we bear no fruit but only take up space. God urges us today to lean in and to allow God to dig furiously around our roots, to mix in the manure, water us, and give us every chance possible to turn toward God's overflowing graciousness and generosity, then share God's grace and love with another. During this Lent, not next Lent or three Lents from now, but this Lent, turn towards God. Be transformed. Be made whole. Accept God's grace. It's urgent. Amen.